Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Big news is Johnny Football. So he's going to get a half-game suspension. Notice it's not the first half of Alabama.
That's a good point.
Look, if you're the head football coach, okay, you're Kevin Sumlin. This is the bottom line. You pull that kid into your office. You shut the door. You look at him and say, look, man to man, you tell me what is the deal here. Don't give me any garbage. What's the deal? If you are satisfied with his explanation, you play him until they tell you you can't. I mean, it's that simple.
It is exactly that simple. Apparently, NCAA investigators, Steve, interviewed him for about 6 hours on Sunday. 6 hours.
I mean, how long does it take to interview? I mean, they interview him for 6 hours. I mean, you have to interview him for 6 hours to find out whether he signed autographs for money?
Exactly. It's like three questions.
How long does that damn interview take?
5 minutes.
Exactly right.
One of the interesting aspects of this is, you know, Texas A&M, like several schools, has an honors code.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if that honors code is for all the student body or just the cadets.
That's a good question. I was wondering about that, but if he goes into the coach's office and lies to the coach, the question is, has he violated the honors code, which could result in him being basically kicked out of school?
Yeah, but if I'm the coach and the kid lies to me, it doesn't matter about the honors code.
It doesn't matter.
Okay? All right?
Exactly.
He's done. He's done if he does that. So the heck with the honors code. Oh, and if they tell me I have to keep him on, believe me, he'll be running steps and will be fifth string.
Well, exactly. You can keep him on the team. You just don't have to play him if you're the coach. So,
that's the bottom line. The heck with the NCAA. I mean, I could really care less what they rule. If I'm the head coach, he is in my office. The door is shut, right? It's you, me, man to man, okay? In order for me to call plays that allow you to look good while you allow me to look good as a play caller, there has to be trust on both sides, okay? Now let's have some trust here. You tell me what is the deal. If I walk out of there unsatisfied with his explanation, I suspend him. If I walk out of there satisfied with his explanation, I play him, and I really don't care about the outside noise. In today's culture, you have to do a really good job today of ignoring the noise, because there is noise all over the place in today's sports world, because, in part, shows like these. But I think we take a different approach here. I think we talk more common sense than I think some others do. I mean, there are many that do. I mean, that certainly take a common sense approach. But there are some that take a sensationalistic approach where everything is sensationalized all the time. And I think that's one of the things that you have to do as a coach is somehow, even though you can't block it out completely for them, okay, is that you have to have them ignore the noise. And Johnny Manziel has had a lot of noise around him. He is responsible for that because he is responsible for his own actions, and he absolutely needs to grow up, and he needs to start understanding maturity. Because, you know, as much as we've lauded him for being a great football player, he has been a great football player for one season.
He's what, 19 years old?
I think he's 20 now.
Okay, he turned 20, yeah.
Yeah, he did redshirt his freshman season. He was not a true freshman last year. He was a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, he's 20 years old. He's just starting the maturing process in all reality.
Right, and this is, you know, if you want to know why coaches tell freshmen they probably should not be in front of the media, this might be a reason why, because some kids can't handle it. And he has not been able to handle the fame of this well. But regardless of that, you sit down and say, look, door shut. It's you. It's me. Okay? You tell me what is the deal. I want to know in no uncertain terms what's going on here.
Don't you find... Don't you lie to me.
You lie to me. You're cooked and fried.
Don't you find the, quote, punishment kind of weird? It sounds like he's half guilty and half not, so he gets a half game
suspension.
Well,
that's what I was going to say. Is this an admission of guilt here to at least some point?
If he didn't do anything wrong, why suspend him at all, even for a minute or a play?
So, who suspended him? The NCAA?
Well, they're not saying that. They're just saying...
Welcome to the world of vague, because that's where it is right now.
The agreement between the NCAA and Texas A&M closes the book on Manziel's recent issues, the source said.
Yeah.
Well, it's the NCAA that suspended him, and Texas A&M agreed to it.
Yeah.
But, again, is that an admission of at least some guilt?
Well, why do you say that? It doesn't say he agreed to it. Yeah. It just says Texas A&M and the NCAA said they agreed to it, not him. He hasn't admitted anything.
Yeah. You know, a question occurs to me. What happens if in the second quarter of the game the Texas A&M starting quarterback other than Johnny Football gets hurt? What does the coach do then? Can he put Johnny in, or does he have to?
No.
Exactly.
No. He has to go to whomever's the third and then whomever's the fourth. I mean, Penn State will carry three quarterbacks with it, for example, to the Meadowlands. It may carry four. Okay? I think that you're allowed to travel 70 in the Big Ten anyway. So, you know, Bill will travel three quarterbacks, consider a fourth one depending on how he wants to play this thing out. So Texas A&M, this is a home game for them. And being a home game, that means everybody's on the sideline, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody will be there. So he'll have four other quarterbacks available to him. I mean, it would have to be Armageddon.
Sure.
Okay? You know, and then he'll come in the second half and play the game. They open up with, what, Rice?
Yes, Rice.
Yes, well, I
don't
really...
But
he'll have to play that game, guys, because what next week is Alabama, right?
I think week two is the big showdown.
Is Alabama? He'll have to play against Rice because you don't want him to go into the out. Hey, it's your first time out.
Yeah, here, get a football and go in.
Yeah, have a good time.
no warm-ups necessary. You won the Heisman.
Here's what they claim: he was paid for signing autographs at several locations, including in South Florida around the BCS National Championship game. Also, ESPN reported that a set of autograph dealers claimed that Manziel payments to sign more than 4,000 items, including footballs and photographs, at an event in Connecticut in late January. They spent a large chunk of Sunday with Manziel questioning him about allegations from memorabilia dealers that he accepted payments for autographs. I mean, I'm sorry, you're right, Bob. That conversation takes 15 minutes.
It really does, and it is bizarre to me. There's obviously a lot more going on behind the scenes that no one's aware of and may or may not come out of this. You know, the NCAA being incredibly secretive about things.
So it looks like Matt Jokel or freshman Kenny Hill will start. Hill's more of a dual threat guy. Jokel is more of a pocket guy. So that's what they have. Jokel's thrown a whopping 11 passes in his career. Hill's a kid who went to South Lake Carroll, which, of course, is a big-time Texas high school powerhouse.
South Lake.
Near Dallas.
I know exactly. It's right by the airport.
It's right by the Dallas-Fort Worth airport.
And a friend of mine who moved from Danville to live there, his daughter was the drum major of the band. And, Steve, the band only took 7 full buses to high school football away games in Texas. It's a huge school. And it's one of the great football schools for talent going into the college level. It's an amazing place.
Yeah. So This is what, you know, this is what they decided to do. It's not, you know, Manziel hasn't admitted any guilt from what I understand, but I guess through their investigation, this is what they've decided to do. It's a half game. I mean, it's about as much of a slap in the wrist as he's going to get. I don't think he could have asked for, I don't think he could have asked for any better considering the swirl around him publicity-wise.
The question.
And for the Texas A&M kids, by the way, this has been awfully tough for them because, as usual, when something like this happens, they've been asked questions left and right about stuff they don't know about. When you don't know about it, you know, what are you asking about them?
You know, and these are teammates of his. I wonder what the, you know, my question would be. I wonder what they really think. Let's just say he got $10,000 to sign autographs. Do they envy him, or are they disgusted with him for putting the team in jeopardy by, you know, him becoming ineligible perhaps for a season? Or are they going, wow, I wish I could get $10,000?
If I'm a fellow player, I say, Johnny, good for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would be thinking, too. You know, I'll tell you one thing.
I know what the rules are, but if I were a teammate, I'd say, hey, I'm glad you're getting yours.
I would say, Johnny, how about treating the team to like some steak? We block for you. We do all kinds of things for you. With all the, you know, sign a couple autographs. Let's get some steak dinners for the boys.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The interesting thing is, it takes a huge amount of time to sign 4,000 pieces of memorabilia.
It does. I mean, that's a gigantic number.
That is beyond. I mean, it takes hours and hours to do 1,000. People don't really appreciate that, but laying out 4,000 helmets and shirts and whatever else, chin straps, and signing all of those, you know, you get writer's cramp after about the first 100.
Here's my part, Bob. Why do you want to pay for somebody's signature?
Yeah.
I'm completely baffled by that.
I cannot explain that to you. I tried yesterday. I can't explain it to you.
You know what? I'll tell you, Steve, I can give you a word that will, I think you'll instantly recognize and will understand it. eBay.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's the selling of that. I mean, you know, Jack's talked to me about that. He says, yeah, people sell my stuff. He says, I've signed so much stuff, it's worthless on eBay now. I'm like, yeah, well, yeah. So exactly.
That's what you got to watch.
So I said to him, hey, brilliant strategy by you.
Yeah, overwhelm the market, Jack. Good job.
But I don't understand. Now, again, I will couch this by saying the following. I obviously have spent a lot of time in my career around people that would consider stars. How about that?
Absolutely right.
Okay. And because of that, I don't care. you know what I mean? In other words, they're like people to me.
Yeah.
Joe was a person to me. Okay. Was a friend. It was, you know what I mean? Bill O'Brien, you know. Same thing with Patrick Chambers. Patrick Chambers, a friend. Sean Lee, okay? Sean Lee was a player here, liked him personally. He's got a $42 million contract. Michael Robinson took my class, for goodness sakes. You know, I mean, you know what I mean?
So, you know him on a different level than what I would.
Right. So I can't relate to why anybody would want them.
Yeah.
I can understand why people want them to sign something. That I totally understand. I have no problem with that. Sign my picture, sign my helmet, sign my football, whatever. But paying for it?
Exactly.
I pay for the ones that are hard for me to get.
I wouldn't pay for this dude's autograph. I wouldn't even. Well, see, that's the difference. I wouldn't even ask him for it. I don't even want it. Sorry.
I have asked and I have paid.
I think it's
now like, I don't do it when I'm working. This is just me personally going up. I understand that. But because I think that's awkward and unprofessional. But when it's just me, when it's just Kevin hanging out at a game, yeah. I mean, I've tried many times to get a Ryan Howard autograph when he was up in Scranton Wilkes-Barre with the Red Barons, and same thing with Chase Utley, and I still have a few of those. Now, I didn't pay for those particular ones because it was an autograph day. Now, would I, if it was a special show, pay for a Chase Utley for a chance to get a Chase Utley signed photo? Yeah, I probably would. Why? Because I admire the player. and what he does on the field.
N-E-V-E-R.
Exactly. You know what I think it goes back to? There are...
fact that Steve isn't a fan anymore. That's what it goes back to.
But I want to tell you about... Let's take Chase Utley and Ryan Howard for a moment. To me, they're being paid millions and millions of dollars. Okay? To me, part of the obligation when it comes to a contract like that as an entertainer, which is what they are, is to cultivate the consumer that buys the tickets.
I don't argue with that.
And if they want your autograph, I feel that they should say, no, I'm not going to take a dime. I already get a lot of dimes. I will sign, and I will stand here for a long time. You know, people get on – I'll give you an example of a guy, okay? Phil Mickelson. He's been called by a couple of other pros, quote, McPhoney. Well, you know what? He goes out and he signs every round, sign, mm-hmm. sign. Practice round, sign. Does it all the time. Finally, one of the reporters, when they were doing the McPhoney thing one day, because Mickelson is, it's a mixed bag in the locker room. Some guys really like him, some guys don't. You know, it's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said to one of those guys, they said, you know, he can't be that phony. He does it every single time for 20-something years. They said, I don't see you out there. When do you go out, you know, and talk with the fans and sign for them? He says, that's why they love him, because he takes the time for them, right? And that, you know, he knows who his consumers are. And I think that professional athletes, college athletes, whatever, have to know who their consumers are. And, you know, and... we talked about how NASCAR drivers have gotten away from doing this. You know, I know sponsor obligations are important, but going over to the fence and signing for fans and talking with them does exponential good beyond words. And when it comes to paying for an autograph, I wouldn't give anybody a dime for their autograph ever.
I was thinking about, in the so-called modern era, one guy stands out in my mind who made this a habit in a small industry, Pete Rose.
Yes, no doubt.
He was one of the guys that went everywhere and
that's
anywhere.
That's how he made a living.
Yeah, when he was no longer eligible to be part of baseball. I also think there's what...
I wouldn't give him a dime for his autograph.
No, not at all. I think there's also, I'll call this the Honus Wagner effect, in that there's a Honus Wagner baseball card out there that's worth $100,000.
There's an autograph to have.
And,
yeah, Bruce McNall and Wayne Gretzky had that card at one point.
And the point about that is everybody thinks that somebody is going to be the next Honus Wagner, and if they have that signed autograph card or that signed autograph, it's somehow going to be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars down the road. So they're willing to pay. It's like an investment in their eye. But it's not. That's just a contrived market, if you will, and so it doesn't have any real intrinsic worth. It's not like buying gold that you can actually use and sell and make something with it.
But
it's a piece of paper.
But
I think it's marvelous. I think it's marvelous. The fans want to get autographs from players or individuals. I think that's great. I think it's fun. It's a great connection between fan and athlete, athlete and fan. I think that part's terrific. Sign a helmet, sign a picture.
Sure.
I think that part's great. Paying for it? Are you kidding me?
Well, listen, I haven't made jack squat on anything that I have that's collectible.
And you won't.
But the reason I have it is because, to me, it's invaluable.
Well,
to me, it's something that I probably wouldn't sell anyway. So the autographs that I got over the years, whether I paid for them or not, fall into that category, because I'm not going to pay for an autograph I don't want.
Well,
except Cordell Stewart, which I don't want anymore, but I already got that. But I still have it. But I did at the time.
But, you know, there's a whole, for lack of a better word, industry out there.
And there is.
That has these marketing shows. They call them conventions. And they'll line up all these old stars to come in, and you stand in line. There was a report after Charlie Manuel was fired. He was out at the Neshaminy Mall, which is north of Philadelphia, signing autographs at 25 or 50 bucks a pop. Gee, the guy still was under his contract, which was a pretty substantial amount of money. But you hear those things, and I think it spoils sports a lot. So.
Well, you've got a couple of views. You'll have a chance here to call 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Steve Jones at WKOK.com, or you can comment on our Facebook page. And one quick thing I want to add before we go to break, Steve. It appears as though, with the half-game suspension of Manziel, that this was not a receive-money-for-autographs situation. This sounds more like one of those cases where he didn't stop it from happening. Do you understand what I mean? It's kind of a violation of an NCAA bylaw. And I looked it up, that if a student-athlete's name or picture appears on commercial items or is used to promote a commercial product sold by an individual agency without the student-athlete's knowledge or permission, the student-athlete is required to take steps to stop the activity in order to retain the eligibility for intercollegiate athletics. Steps are not required in cases which a student-athlete's photograph is sold by an individual or agency, like a private photographer or a news agency, for private use. So it sounds as though that this may not be receiving an awful lot of money for it, but it may be an easier way out of it. How's that for an explanation?
Sounds like a plea bargain.
He got a half game. News coming up next.
Okay.
And it's against Rice.
I apologize for bottom lining it, okay? Yeah. He got a half game. All right? Rearview mirror, let's play ball.
Sucking we'll come back the fun out of the life of sports. Steve Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Okay? He got a half a game. Put it in a rearview mirror, play ball. We'll come back. News radio, news bottom of the hour, news radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL 11995, 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only 15521, 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just 17887, a 2010 Honda Odyssey five-door EXL 22775. 2011 Lincoln MKZ, four-wheel drive, four-door, 34,822. And a 2010 Cadillac DTS, four-door sedan, 24,595. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I want to get to another issue on the Johnny Manziel thing. And it's also an issue, Bob, I think, that they have to consider when it comes to giving stipends to athletes. It's called the IRS.
We call that taxable income in the trade. And
I mean, this is an issue. When they start talking about stipends for athletes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? All right, say they, let's pick a number. Say they want to give them $200 a month, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I think that's income, and then
that's taxable income.
Well, not just on the federal level, but on the state level, local level too, and also for Social Security. Now, what I know about tax law is that for the federal taxes, all that's paid in would come back in terms of a refund, except for Social Security. Does Penn State, if it was a Penn State athlete, have to match that 7%? To go to Social Security as income, you know, an employer match, which is what Social Security requires, whether there's refunds on the state level. The other thing that happens as well, and has a potential thing along the same lines, is student income is figured into the financial aid package that some student might get. And if a student, let's say, is a walk-on at Penn State, a run-on, but they're eligible for that stipend, that could actually, and not the scholarship players, but the run-ons, that could affect their financial aid because that would be considered income that they figure when they determine the financial aid loan or grant package. It's going to get you're going to need an army of CPAs and several good lawyers to figure this out on every team.
Now, of course, there's a certain income level that if you stay under, you don't pay taxes on.
Not for Social Security.
Not for Social Security.
No, that's, but, and that's 7%.
Right. Right, so, that's 7%. Right, I know that. But in terms of the actual IRS paying, I mean, as we know, 47% of people don't pay taxes anyway.
Well, but they actually end up getting refunds. They have to file. What point is they have to file a tax return?
Right.
To get the refund.
And this is what they'd have to do on the money that they get. Now, grant money is not taxable income.
Okay? That is correct.
And players get grant money, okay, and because their scholarships are fully taken care of, that means any money they get from a grant, it's in the rules. All of you know who fill out FAFSAs, you get to keep the cash. And this is something, Kevin, you will find out in due time in life. Yeah, but, if your loans or whatever, and you feel like just paying the loans and you want to keep the grant money, you can do it. If it goes beyond what's needed,
it's a really complicated mess, to put it mildly. I was just looking at the clock here on the old radio studio. Do you realize that in 50 hours and 20 minutes and counting, Kevin will be on the air at Chickalemme Stadium, and in about 70 hours and 50 minutes, you'll be announcing the kickoff in the College Classic.
I didn't even do the math on that yet.
Well done, Bob. Well done. Well done.
And I know that, Steve, you're like, and I don't know how you do this. You've got so many engagements and games to do in the month of September. It just boggles my mind, in addition to this show and your other obligations. But Kevin is, Friday night is his night.
Yeah, Friday night is his night. He owns the night.
He does. It's Christmas at Kevin's house every Friday night.
I don't even see anybody at my house on Friday night. By the time I get home, everybody's asleep.
Well, no, we're actually referring to Rebecca knowing you're not home.
Well, that's probably true. Actually, this weekend is the final weekend, and then she goes, all right, I'll see you in January.
Now, Steve, are your plans to do a baseball game for the State College Spikes Friday?
Yes.
Get in a helicopter at night and travel across the Commonwealth and across New Jersey. And then,
I believe it's called a Ford Escape.
Yeah, and you will be escaping.
The Jones Learjet.
Yes. And then getting over to the Meadowlands area, and then you'll be on the air, I believe, at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Jack and I will drive over from the hotel together, do the game. I'll drive him back to the hotel. He and Joanne are gonna have a little weekend vacation coming up for Labor Day, so he's going to fly out to that on Sunday, so I'm going to drive back to the hotel when it's over with, and we're looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun for us.
I will see you, by the way, at the Meadowlands. I will stop by and say hello.
I know you will. I love it. This is great.
Wait. You think just saying, hi, I'm Bob Buter, is going to get you through security at the Meadowlands?
No. What I'm going
to
do is...
You have to remember that the Moeller tailgate will be in full gear. And if the Moeller tailgate is in full gear, Buter is always...
I see.
Invited. And by the way, Bob, any home Penn State game, you must be at the Moeller tailgate.
I need to do that. I understand. I was just thinking, though, if I brought $10, could I get your autograph? Or not?
Yeah, I will give you, Bob, the parking space.
Okay.
Actually, I have a Steve Jones autograph.
Do you?
I do. I have a Steve Jones autograph on a Penn State football poster.
And it didn't cost a penny.
It didn't. He did it willingly. Well, all right, maybe not willingly, but he did it.
Steve, a question for you. I think today was the luncheon and all that. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, contrast 2012 luncheon before the first game to this year's luncheon before the first game? Atmosphere, environment, et cetera.
Well, number one, Rick and Lee Weibel were there today. It was great to see them.
Oh, wow, great.
It was great to see Rick and Lee there today from REW. And they will be back with us next week, by the way, which we are thrilled about. Contrast, let's see.
And he's not talking about the food.
More
either.
Relaxed. I didn't. I don't eat. I don't get there in time to do any eating. I literally walk in, walk on stage, and start. I mean, there's no lead time. I didn't even sit down.
You know, last year, of course, we got the NCAA sanctions, et cetera.
They're more relaxed. They're more relaxed. In other words, it's not as uptight. You don't see anybody with the weight of their world on the shoulders. The group that was there last year had gone through so much in the 5 weeks leading up to it. I mean, and more so than that. I mean, look, they'd gone through a lot in the 9 months. In 9 months before that first luncheon, all right, they had the shock of their head coach being fired at midseason, a swirl around them from reporters and a mass media frenzy here, to an interim head coach, to finding out that their former head coach had cancer, to then wondering who their new head coach is going to be, to having the new head coach introduced to them, to having their former head coach die, to then having to learn an entire system, to then finding out that they were being put on sanctions, to then find out that they couldn't go to a bowl game, which they all thought they had a shot at doing up until July 23rd, to then going through the meeting with the Letterman, to then going through the having guys transfer out, to then going through training camp and trying to make sure that they knew a system that had been foreign to them 12 months ago. That was the atmosphere under which that first game took place, because they were on the verge of possibly not even playing football in the 2012 season. This year, more relaxed. This year, concentration on football. This year, a sense of normalcy, even though you know that they can't go to a bowl game, and even though they know starting next year the 65 scholarship thing starts. They know all that. But you also have a freshman class, okay? This is what you have for components. You have veterans who all in the past, from July 24th to August 5th, each one of those individuals that are on that Penn State football team all had the option of transferring without the penalty of sitting out a year. They all had that option. All of them stayed. You also have an incoming freshman class as one of the more important in the history of Penn State football, because all of them at this time a year ago were verbal commitments. And Bill O'Brien and his staff stuck with them, and they stuck with Bill O'Brien and his staff. So what you have here is an unusual situation at Penn State that I'm not so sure any coach in the country has, and that is he knows – when he walks into his meeting room, Bill O'Brien, that the 105 guys that he's looking at are absolutely fully committed to his program and his university, because they've all been given the option to not be there.
It's just got to be a refreshing thing at the luncheons and all that.
I mean, Bob, look, for Jack and me, all right, I've rarely have personalized this. I think Kevin knows that. I have not personalized this at all.
And I know you haven't too. Yep.
But the bottom line is this. I mean, Jack, Ham, and I have been forced to talk about things that neither one of us in our life, in public, I'm talking in a public forum where everybody is listening and measuring every word you say. We've had to talk about, discuss, or politely dismiss items of conversation that the two of us never in our lifetime thought we'd have to deal with in private conversation, let alone in a public forum. For the two of us to talk about football and get back to what is our comfort level, okay, is refreshing beyond words.
It's a great relief, no question.
I mean, it's, you know, now, is any of this over with? No, this is not over with. And we know that. And I have pointed out the entire time two critical words that I think are the two words that sum up for me, and I think for many, what is important right now: truth and fairness. All anybody wants or should want, okay, I don't want people going out there with the idea of victory on this issue, okay? You know, I got to win a court case. I got to, you know, whatever. I don't want winning and losing.
Yeah, there really is no such thing. Absolutely.
Okay. There have already been losses. Okay. There's been a man convicted. He's in jail. There have been victims. Okay. That have gone through hell. All right. Got it. Okay. Now for the rest of it, I want the truth. Okay. About the ancillary issues surrounding it. Okay. The ancillary issues surrounding it, okay? If the truth is an ugly truth, so be it. Let fairness then fall into place with the ugly truth, okay? But if the truth is, oh, my goodness, that, oh, wow, okay, I want fairness to be back behind that truth as well, okay? That's all I want, truth, fairness, okay? And, you know, for Jack and me, as I pointed out in the Nebraska game in 2011, which is almost 2 years ago, I said, look, we understand what the most important things are. We do. You know, Jack and I are, you know, consider ourselves, you know, we can kid around, but I mean, we're not dumb. I mean, we know. We know what's important. And we know that a football game next to the issues that have been discussed and the hell that some people went through is nowhere near as important as that. We get it, and we've talked about that and prefaced our conversations many, many times with that. But I've also said, remember, too, what our jobs happen to be. We have been hired to be football announcers, and that it's our job to do the games. And if those who are emotional about the subject, we completely understand how emotional you are. But at the same time, we also allow you to look and say, you know, yeah, they are football announcers. It's their job to do the game. Let them do the game, right? Because we've already, I think, shown over and over again, you know, how, you know, our hearts and how we feel about it and how we have our priorities in place. But we also then have a job to do as well.
And I think a lot of people who listen to you and listen to Jack Ham on the broadcast, I think they take their cues from that eloquent commentary that you've just given us, and also, you know, from the attitude you display. It seems like this year is light years removed from 2012. It just seems that way.
It's light years removed from the end of 2011.
Yeah, okay, 2011, absolutely.
2012, as the season went, once they won against Navy, it then started to feel like more like football again and not, you know. And then, of course, the Wisconsin game kind of felt, you know, at the end, you know. Obviously was a statement moment as well. But now it's settled into, you know, I want Beaver Stadium to be a place that people go and have fun.
Yeah.
I want them to go into Beaver Stadium and feel like they're going to have a great time on their weekend. I want people to have a blast talking about, you know, even though I may personally poo-poo the star system because I don't follow recruiting, I want people to get into it and tell me, Stevie's a 4-star recruit. Stevie's a 3-star recruit, right? And get all excited about the fact he's a 3, 4, 5, 2-star, 1-star, 8-star, I don't care how many star recruit, and get into it. I want that. I want them to tell me why they think Wartman's going to be a great linebacker. I want them to tell me why the heck, you know, and they go in and say, boy, look at that Jesse James. He's a pro. You know, and get into the blue band and get into the wave at the stadium and get into the traditions. And, you know, and for anybody who absolutely embraces the past, I strongly encourage you to continue to embrace the past while embracing the future as well. Because it's a fun system to watch. It's a fun game to watch. It's a great place to watch a game, a great place to tailgate. It's just a fun gathering spot for the entire state. And I think it's a rallying point that a lot of people agree on.
No question.
And I just want Beaver Stadium to be a fun place to be where people walk in and say, you know what, I'm going up to Penn State and I'm going to have myself one doggone good time. That's how I want people to feel.
And don't you love it that we're back to having a Penn State quarterback controversy in the sense that, so the fans can focus on that? And
it's interesting. I think it's a controversy when people have seen both guys play.
Yeah, and we obviously haven't seen both guys play at all yet.
In fact, we really haven't seen Ferguson play either because it was the blue-white game and how many snaps did he get. I mean, so I think because there's an air of mystery because fans really don't know what either one can do.
I know.
Because they really haven't seen them. I think that takes away the controversy. When you have a situation where, like, I've seen him and I've seen him, mm-hmm. like John Schaefer, Matt Kisner, fans saw each of them play. So they're like, well, I think he's better because I watched him do this, 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 and this. No, I think he's better because I think he does this, this, and this. Now, that's a controversy.
But I think it's only going to get really more pronounced after the Syracuse game.
It depends on how it plays out. If one guy gets out there and starts and goes all the way and plays all the way through,
it's over. But
there isn't one.
But given the history of the rich tradition of Penn State quarterback controversies, there will be one because I think it's just the nature of Penn State. But if we can focus on a lot of those things in this season as fans, it'll be a heck of a lot better than the end of 2011 and some of 2012. Oh,
no question. I'd rather sit here and talk about a quarterback controversy anytime. It's more my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You know, but as a professional, and in this position I'm in, I know that I've had to deal with it in public.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that because there's an obligation to do so. And my hope is, while not being perfect, I hope people feel I've done it as well as I can. I will wrap things up with the guys in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hey, it's community night tomorrow night at Shikellamy. Get to meet the players tomorrow night at the high school, the field. Should be a lot of fun. Kevin, $5 on autographs.
I am not charging, no.
Oh,
he's paying.
No, $150, Kevin. You should be able to hand out to 30 different people $5 a piece and sign it.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to have to start a lot earlier than 6 o'clock then, but I think 6 o'clock is a good enough start time. Maybe we might have to just miss the autograph part. Sorry.
50 hours till Shikellamy.
Loving it. It's that time of the year. Nothing happened in August until now.